My name is Dana. I live in Southern California, and I'd like to tell you the story of the birth of my first child. I had a water birth plan. The C-section was the last thing I wanted to have, but that's what I got. I tried to educate myself about what was going to happen in various ways. I read a book by an author that I really like. It illuminated the medical industry and how valuable a natural birth can be. I also got online. I really wanted to go the natural route. I didn't want to have any drugs. The book tells you how the number of C-sections keeps going up and up, and I didn't want to be one of those numbers. This was going to be a birth in a craftsman house, in a big birthing tub. The prenatal care was incredible. They would spend an hour with me each visit, explaining where I was now and feeling my stomach to feel where the baby was. And for me, doing this the natural way was very important to me. So we kept getting closer and everything was fine. One thing that came up that I could not find any information about was tendonitis in my wrists, both wrists. It got to be so painful I could barely move my wrists anymore. I went to the doctor about it, and then I got online and looked at it some more. And it happens to women over 30 having their first child, not all of them, just some of them. And it's a hormonal thing. And it happens towards the end of your pregnancy, and it lasts for the first few months. Little things like that I wish there were more information about. The pregnancy is progressing. My due date is November 7th. November 7th comes and goes. There's no sign of labor or Braxton Hicks contractions, which everyone does. The midwives are saying, you know, maybe some nice long walks, climbing some hills, walking up and down stairs if you can, will help jostle him into place, and that will get you started with your labor. So I was walking 4 miles a day the last 4 months of the pregnancy. Every day, 4 miles. When is my day? Please let it be soon. My child coming 3 weeks after his due date. The medical profession would not let that happen. This is something specific to midwives. They will say, your baby's going to come when your baby's ready. Your body knows when your baby's ready. Your baby knows when your baby's ready. It'll happen. That's a great attitude for them to have. I was ready to cut that baby out myself. There are some herbal things you can do to stimulate the labor. They taste horrible. So I'm making these teas with all these different herbs. That didn't work. Castor oil is another folk remedy, which they said go ahead and try. Didn't do anything but make me sick out of every end. Thought it did produce a profound effect. So a week later, I did it again? Don't ask me what kind of an idiot does that. Well, somebody really wants that baby out. We tried sex. That's another thing that's supposed to stimulate labor. That didn't work. There is a restaurant that sells something called a labor salad. They have a little book of all the women who have gone into labor after eating this salad.
Ordering one labor salad.
I had that salad about 10 times. I would have one for lunch and I would have one for dinner, hoping, well, maybe later, you know, maybe if I compound the effect. None of that worked. Then finally, I started to go into labor. And the labor was progressing very slowly. It was probably a day at home. The midwife came to my house to check how much I had dilated, and I spent hours and hours at one and hours at two. And they don't want you at the birth tub place until you're at six. I was just very, very slow about it. Finally, they were just like, why don't you come in? I think I was at five. We like to wait till six, but why don't you come in? We'll strip your membranes, separating the sac away from the uterine wall. That's what I think it is. It's almost like breaking your water for you. Anything they could do to start to move faster for me is what they were trying to do. So I spent at least 12 hours at the birthing center, dilated to six and dilated to seven in that time. And I was in and out of the birthing tub. Warm water felt really, really good. It helped me to relax it. But they felt that it was slowing the labor down because it helps you relax. And I guess you don't want to be too relaxed. So I had to keep getting out. And then I'm sitting on this ball, one of those exercise balls. that was helping, but it was so excruciatingly painful, I couldn't do it for very long, and I'd be back and forth, and I was in pain the whole time. I'm telling the midwives, you know, I don't know how much more pain I can handle. This, to me, seems like a really long labor. Is this normal? And they're like, well, no, this isn't normal. You've had a lot of contractions. You've had more contractions than most people have. Yeah, this is a hard labor, but it's not out of the realm of normal. Your baby's not in any distress, and we can continue this for as long as you want. That made me feel like going to the hospital was a cop-out, because there's no reason why I should go. I'm in the tub, and most of the time, somebody was right there with me, mostly my husband. Finally, my husband is really, really tired, and shortly after that, he was like, I can't do this anymore, I'm too tired. And at that point, when he was too tired to be my support, and I had reached a level of pain that I could no longer handle, I was like, that's it, we're going to the hospital. I made the decision to go to the hospital anyway, even though I felt bad about it inside. I felt like I was letting everyone, including myself, down. It was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. And at that point, give me the narcotics, give me the epidural, give me everything they got when I get to the hospital. I don't care. So we drove to the hospital, which I think was only about a mile away. It was the longest car ride of my life. I had been pre-registered just in case, so I went in. They had a wheelchair for me. Within 10 minutes of getting to the hospital, I had an epidural. The reaction that I had to the epidural was continuous shaking, and I thought that it was because I had been in so much labor and my body was just reacting to that, but the shaking is normal. The anesthesiologist was very good, and he was explaining things to me. I just wanted to bring him home with me. So they got the epidural in, the midwife stayed with me, they wanted to do the narcotic, and the midwife literally threw herself across my body to stop the nurse from giving me the narcotic. But I was really grateful for that because I wouldn't have been able to react quickly enough. Then they checked with me, the midwife and the nurse.
Could you use a little something?
Do you really think you need that?
You know what? I really don't need it. And that is the thing that affects the baby, I think, a little bit more than the epidural. And so in that sense, I felt fine without it. It's really good to know what your rights are, and it's really good to know what you want out of the experience. And I think the answer is something in the middle, like not just the medical approach and not just the midwife approach. Because for me, I couldn't have done the completely natural thing. It wasn't going to happen. I'm still at 7 hours after being in the hospital. The doctor says, let's try some Pitocin, which I guess that's what you do when labor is stuck. But in my case, it wasn't that I wasn't having contractions. I think maybe he thought that if I had the epidural in me and I had something creating more regular contractions, maybe I was more likely to have this baby on my own and not have to have the C-section. 5 hours of Pitocin later, I was still at 7, and he was like, you know, I don't really see another option.
I don't really see another option.
I don't really see another option.
At that point, I just felt like we've done everything we're going to do after all that time, after all those different interventions to try to make it happen. So I had the C-section. The one thing that's kind of neat is they put a sheet over your chest that divides you from seeing the rest of your body, thankfully. But my husband is standing there next to me. And actually, they have it so he can't see either. I think they don't want him to freak out. But just as they're pulling the baby out, they lower it so he can see.
Dana, you have a beautiful little boy.
He's got his camera, so he's taking pictures. And then they take him out, and they just wipe him down real quick, and they wrap him up, and then they put him right at your face. So you can see him, but you can't hold him because your arms are out at your sides. But I just wanted to touch him, and they were like, no, not right now. And they pulled him away, and then they did whatever, and then I could see him. One thing that I think was really neat, and I can't imagine what the differences would be between a C-section and having your baby the regular way. You're laying there and you can't really feel anything because you have the epidural, but you definitely feel the pressure of the baby. And they're pulling the baby out, and obviously you've got enough anesthetic that you can't feel them cutting, but you can feel the baby coming out. And all of a sudden you just feel like... And it's amazing to me that you can still feel that even though everything is all numb. Like, that feeling is such a good feeling. And every woman's different, but I did not enjoy being pregnant. You're not in control anymore, and it's really hard. And just to be that big and uncomfortable, and then just to have, that was a wonderful feeling. And then seeing your baby, and that kind of makes everything else fade. Oh, and he's healthy, and you're just laying there, and you're just listening to what they're saying, because you want to pick up on all the little nuances. You know, do they sound worried? Do they sound happy? Is he blue? Is he breathing? Is he crying? Is everything, does he have all 10 toes? All those little things that you know are okay because you just had an ultrasound 2 weeks ago. But still, it's a reality and everything's in one piece and okay, we're all good now. They did the surgery. The midwife was there advocating for me, and she found that nurse. The nurse is the one to talk to, not the doctor, not anybody. And she said, I want her to be able to breastfeed before she goes into recovery. Because ordinarily it would just be OR, recovery. Well, you're in recovery. They take the baby, run all the tests, do all the little things they do to the baby. And then you come out and then you meet in your room. But one thing that my midwife said was, you want your milk to get stimulated as quickly as you can. And apparently it leads to more successful breastfeeding. If I could say anything to the people in the hospital, and not just the doctors, I would say thank you. They are an incredible group of people, especially the nurses. Every time a nurse came into my room, I felt like my baby was the most perfect, beautiful baby they had ever seen. And these are women who work with newborn babies every single day. The anesthesiologist, he was really above and beyond, I think, and just very attentive. It was almost like the doctor wasn't even in the operating room. It was me and my husband and the anesthesiologist. And the doctor, we've talked about moving. One of the reasons we didn't want to jump to move was because I wanted to be here in this town with this doctor, because I liked him that much. And I told him that. I said, you know, we've thought about moving to Colorado, but you're not in Colorado. It's incredible to me how the staff at the hospital, they go through this 20 times a day. But the fact that you can still feel special, I think, is huge. Thank you.
Podcast by Worldwide Radio.